the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome back to another episode of the CBP on the CBP Media Network. This is number 138, is it? Something like that?
Sounds right.
About there, 137, 138. Anyway, my name is Joey. That's Len, the other panel buddy. What's going on over there? How the heck are you?
Joey, it's a... what can I say? It's been an interesting few days, interesting few weeks. You know, you see what's going on in the world, and it just, it's driving me bonkers. You know what, Joey? I mean, on top of being sick, but everything's... You know, you see Scammeri out there, they're trolling fucking people. All these fucking protests going on right now. I don't know what the fuck's going on with the world. You know, people shooting at Jewish schools.
Crazy.
And then, you know, the protests going on. Fuck people, man. Like, let's just, you know, put these disagreements to the side and just fucking hammer something out. And then dollar keeps getting wrecked on top. It's just fucking brutal. It's like the 1930s all over again, right? You see, right? You see anti-Semitism on the rise. You see hyperinflation kind of creeping up. It's like the 1930s all over again. So much hatred for the fellow human being, right? Like, and then you get this weather person guy out there saying burn CDs, don't use cold cards. There's so much going on, Joey. So much. And fucking this ETF for
I love it,
right? And I'm fucking sick for over a couple weeks. Joey, I'm fucking pissed. I could just say that. I'm fucking irate.
How are you, buddy? I'm good. At least there's better memes this time than there was in the 30s, though. A lot of high-quality memes these days to kind of ease the pain, to lighten the burden for all of us. It has been a wild couple of weeks. I was kind of just like thinking today when I was walking Moose that, you know, that everyone has that – everyone is quick to remind you that saying – what is it? You know, decades happen in days and or something like that. I forget exactly what it is, but feels like we're kind of in one of those moments now, right? Things are happening really, really quickly. You're seeing currencies wobble. You know, here in Canada, we're I think clearly now in a secular decline in terms of quality of life, for reasons that maybe we'll get into tonight at some point. You know, we get into them most weeks actually, but yeah, it's been interesting. I was gonna say it's been fun. You know, I will say I'm glad to at least be going through something like this with a guy like you, our buddies online, you know, friends, family. I think we're kind of more well-prepared. You know, people who listen to this show, watch the show, more well-prepared than most. And so I'm at least proud and happy to be a part of that. I'll go that far.
Yeah. We're in good company. That's all I got to say. Yeah. Joey, we should hit our sponsors before we go any further, I think.
We may as well. EasyDNS, best place for you, listener, viewer, and on to host your website, host your email, do your virtual private server stuff, whatever needs you have. If you want to run a Noster relay, if you want to run a BTC pay server, if you want to run a Bitcoin node, if you want to move over from another shitty service to EasyDNS, you can do it. Actually, I saw somebody in my Twitter comments the other day. Maybe you saw it too. I think someone was asking how to buy a domain. I think we sent them to Mark, and Mark probably picked that up. I hope that's great. Mark helped us put our website together. We're still building out our website. There's going to be more features coming soon. It's going to be a nice feature-rich landing spot for everything related to CBP. But we couldn't have done it without Mark and EasyDNS. Len and I are busy. We don't have a lot of expertise in that domain. No pun intended. And Mark was able to help us out. And we're glad we linked up with him, man. He's been a great sponsor and a great friend of the show, too. So if you want to do that, you can head over to EasyDNS, use the code CBP Media, or just tell Mark we sent you, right? Hit him on Twitter. He's out there at Stump Pope. And he'll take care of you. That's all there is to it. That's what good companies do, and that's what he's done for us, and that's what he'll do for you as well.
Yeah, he did a good job for onboarding us to actually have email addresses.
And he helped us buy a second domain last week. Yeah. Do you want to talk about that? Hit him with the domain after the next ad read, maybe.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just want to give him credit for what he's done to help us out. He's been an absolute godsend in terms of ushering us into having a website and everything along that. So, and besides that, we have a second sponsor, and I'm going to actually tie into the first sponsor with this, which is Bull Bitcoin. And nowadays, more than ever, you definitely want to get a non-custodial exchange and learn how to use it and take advantage of the services they offer. So with Bull, you could buy your Bitcoin And of course, as I mentioned, it's not custodial. You could sell your Bitcoin if you wanted to. Look at the price. It's what, $36,500. Decent price if you want to sell your Bitcoin. Remember, you do have to claim it to the tax authorities if that's what is required in your jurisdiction. You could also buy not just on-chain. You could buy Liquid. Not a big fan of that. And I could explain that in more detail later if you want. But another good one is they have is Lightning. Is Lightning works really, really well in terms of quick, easy transactions, but also when it's the network is clogged and there's high network fees, using Lightning is a godsend. And not just that, you could pay your bills with your Bitcoin with Bull Bitcoin. And you could also buy gift cards with your Bitcoin and spend that in the real world. So you could live on the Bitcoin standard just the way Satoshi wanted you to. But the thing that they have that really appeals to me, and I'm sure a lot of other people out there, is the KYC free Bitcoin, where you can exchange your Canadian dollars out of Canada Post and they'll load up your Bull Bitcoin account. And with that, you could buy KYC free Bitcoin. How could you go wrong? The spread is the cheapest in the game. It's easy to do. The whole process is simple. Use a referral code below and you get $21 added to your account, or simply just go to iwantbitcoin.ca and it will bring you to the website with our referral code there. And Mark, help us from EasyDNS, help us set up that iwantbitcoin.ca.
You love to see it. We could maybe start with the Samurai news anyways, but after we do the boost, Samurai online going at Francis and the Bull Bitcoin team over their CoinJoin, choice of CoinJoin. You know, when you see stuff like this, just keep two things in mind, okay? And this is right from the Bull Bitcoin team. Number one, it's not worth entertaining a company like Samurai, who, by the way, is publicly traded in the United Kingdom. I don't know if you know that, Len. Cypher something is a publicly traded company. I can dig into that a little more if you want to have a DM from somebody in that regard. The other thing is that when someone says that Bull Bitcoin is improperly coin joining or doing something that's poor for privacy or poor for anonymity, I would just point out that no one actually knows how Bull is doing their coin joins. It's a sort of self-built version of the Wasabi mixer. So it's not available to anybody. No one knows how they're doing it except Bull. And Francis has pointed out many times on this show and on Twitter and probably on other shows that he's not interested in telling anyone. And he's also not had anyone, you know, break the anonymity set to him or to the team thus far. So I would just keep those two things in mind. Everyone's got an opinion. Doesn't mean you have to listen to it. And it certainly doesn't mean it's correct.
I have nothing else to add. I don't want to entertain them any further, talking about Samurai. So we could just leave it at that. So onto the boost, I'll just rhyme off the top five boosts in terms of sats. So starting off is low time prep, 400 sats. And this person writes in, love Atlas Shrugged, but I think I preferred the Fountainhead. Rather than focusing on the entire society, it showed how individuals can stick to their principles and prosper, not just through monetary gain, but by simply doing what they love and finding satisfaction in that. You don't need to be a genius, creative, entrepreneurial to provide value. You just need to find hard work and not leech off the masses or conform to what everybody else believes, simply for the sake of not rocking the boat. Fountainhead. I've never heard of that.
Me neither.
That's a really good endorsement for that. I'm going to add that to my list of things to read. So anything you want to add to that, Joey?
No, except how have I never heard of that? But Bitcoiners love books of that nature, and yet I've never even heard the name.
So I just want to thank you, Low Time Pref, for recommending Fountainhead. I'll have to check that out. Yeah, so moving on, Mo BTC Dick, 550 sats. Vibes were so high today, lads. I'm sure Joey will get it all pumped to liquidate that Coinbase bag. Duggan Roop, 630 sats. Love listening to Bob. Experience FOMO like I've never experienced for many years when he was offering up some K-pros on Twitter. Really helped me get thinking about getting into a little more involved in the space. Sir Snacks-a-Lot, 1,000 sats. Got to help Joey in his investment strategies. Coinbase, Joey? I mean, hey, even
the... It was before we started the show. It was before I was like fully maximalist thinker. You know, like everyone has these mistakes. Now, I guess that, okay, finish the boost, then I'm going to continue to defend myself here. Go ahead.
So he says, yeah, I mean, hey, even the Ontario Teachers Federation pension fund invested in FTX. They invested based on vibes only. What does FOSS say? Do the math.
Do the math. I love the vibes thing. I've had a lot of mentions on Twitter and people telling me you got to stop doing things on vibes. Look, if it was anywhere else, I would have already sold it, but I don't want to sell at a loss in my TFSA when I'm sure, especially given this whack ass ETF news today, both real and fake, I am sure Coinbase will at least get me to break even. So fine. I'm not going to buy any more. I'll tell you that much. But you know, this endeavor is not over. Okay. I'm not selling at a loss. I will not hold the bag for someone else to make that, you know, to make that cash. I will make the cash on the shares that I hold and then I'll be out.
I could have been DCAing all this time, and then there might be an opportunity to sell at a profit.
Start DCAing into Coinbase.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have also purchased Coinbase way, but I sold out shortly after buying it. I was there almost at the very beginning. So I too was holding on to some Coinbase for a brief little moment, but yeah, those are long gone, thankfully. Last but not least, OTLNDR. Outlander?
Outlander, maybe.
Anyways, 2,500 sats. Rockin' episode, guys. Loved it. And this was with respect to the episode we did last week on Monday when we had SB and Wayfaring Bitcoiner on our show. So it was fantastic. They were on to give their perspective on Coinbase, on MSTR, on Block, and also to carry me, because obviously I was not in a great condition last week. So thankfully they were around to keep this show moving along. And kudos to you too, Joey, because I couldn't have done it last week. I was not.
I noticed, I knew you were sick, but you know, half an hour in when you had barely said anything at all. And then, you know, maybe 55 minutes in when I saw your lovely wife pass you a tea on air, I knew. I was like, okay, this guy, he doesn't have a lot in the tank tonight. But those guys are great, man. Wayfaring and SB, like we've been friends with them for a long time, and they deliver expertise on topics that sometimes you and I cannot. So Wayfaring, obviously having worked in tech, he's a software engineer or has a background in software engineering, and so you know, and also famously a PhD, as many of you may know, has experience with that kind of product stack. And then SB, obviously the man with the terminal, knows all the ins and outs of the financial, you know, latest in you know, TradFi and whatnot. And so to have those guys together talking about some Bitcoin companies and some, you know, crypto black sheep was a lot of fun. And we appreciate that. Anytime we can bring on someone who can give value to the audience, it's a no-brainer for sure.
Anything else you want to tackle from, because I'm basically done. And we could dive in if you're okay with it. If not, we could do whatever.
I didn't give a shout out to Madex, who I bought that piece of artwork off. I gotta say, man, is it small? Yes. Was it expensive? Also, yes. But you got to see these things in person, man. That's a one of one, and there's a few other one of ones that he's got on his website. I can't recommend it enough. Comes with a open dime with some sats on it as well. Just to you know, ease the sting if you're thinking about buying one and the number's a little too high. So yeah, shout out to him, man. He's making some great stuff. You can check him out at, I think his handle is Space Bull, but it's got a V in there somewhere, maybe, I forget. But anyway, madex.art is the website too, if you want to go check that out. Always good to support the creators if you can.
So I guess we'll just dive into the Bitcoin related news.
Yeah.
And I'll be very brief on this because you touched upon it earlier. You probably know more about it than I do. And I know that there was some fake news today about an ETF about some shitcoin. And that was, I guess, rescinded. You know, it looks like it was just fake news. It helped pump that shitcoin from what I understand. But the price of that shitcoin has since got back to its pre-ETF news. So I have nothing else to really say about that. But you said there was some other ETF news that came out today. Do you have anything that you want to share?
Well, the XRP ETF announcement from the Block Pro, I can't imagine paying for these services, but anyway, the Block Pro, I think moved XRP about 7 or 8%. And then the same publication, Block Pro, it's almost borderline clown world here. The same publication had to retract and say the headline was fake. Look, there's almost no doubt that there's going to be an Ethereum ETF. I don't know if you want to talk about that at all. it says to me that, you know, Larry and friends over there at BlackRock don't actually get Bitcoin the way that we thought they got it. And maybe that's, you know, naivete on our part to believe that this is something they actually cared about or understood. A friend of the show who I won't mention, I know his name, but I can't remember his handle on Twitter, made a comment to me after I said that no one gets ETFs, that management fees or management fees doesn't matter what shitcoin you scalp them from.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I think that's something to keep in mind, you know. We've been guilty. I think you and me have partially been guilty of this too, Len. Honestly, if I look back, I'm sure we got some quotables in there where we gave BlackRock too much credit. But, you know, we are guilty of not remembering how much of a villain an organization like BlackRock is in terms of causing all the damage you see around you in the fiat world, whether it's in the economy, whether it's in culture, whether it's in, you know, this hyper-competitive landscape that we find ourselves in every minute of every day. As professionals, as young professionals, as humans, we should be cautious with these guys. You know, they are now the cat amongst the pigeons, as the saying goes. And there's a lot of birds that just don't seem to remember what the cat can do when it gets hungry. And this cat in particular, Len, is famished all the damn time. So be cautious. Remember all the bad times, even as we, you know, hopefully here kind of creep into some good ones as far as ETF and price.
They're fiat maximalists through and through. And that's fine. That's their MO. And I don't want to say anything about if it's right or wrong. This is the path they chose to walk down, and that's fine. They can make the bed they lie in, or lie in the bed they make. So in this case, they're going to, it looks like, get that, go ahead with an ETF for ETH.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Do they not understand Bitcoin? I don't think it really matters to them. They're just trying to accumulate as much fiat as possible. Now, there's something I just wanted to throw out there. Theoretically now, and you have to look at the prospectus, so I don't really know. Theoretically, this may make them the largest staker if they stake the ETH that they buy from this ETF. And if they do stake it, that gives them one of the most largest, maybe the largest voice in dictating how the network is moving going forward. So by simply having an ETF, using the ETH that they accumulate from the ETF, putting that in staking and using that as a way to control the network, this is a possibility. I don't want to say it will happen, but it does make sense. You look at that, it gives them a great deal of power on everything. Who wants to have a more centralized service? ETH already is centralized. But the way I'm outlining it right now will make it even more centralized. What a piece of shit.
Even some of the ETH maxis, I think, realize that too, right? Like you hear, again, maybe you don't hear either, listener or viewer, but when I listen to Bankless, Hoffman, the, I think, younger and honestly, Len, smarter and more sane of the two, sometimes catches himself sort of leaning toward Bitcoin as the better money for exactly that reason. There's not these problems with centralization. There's not, you know, I think Saylor would call it execution risk, right? Bitcoin just runs, you use it for whatever you want. You can build on it, not build on it. But at the end of the day, that layer one is basically untouchable and it's uncontrollable no matter how much the layer one you or anyone else happens to hold. And, you know, on Ethereum, you have the opposite set of qualities. The more that you hold, the more you can stake in, you know, the more of that network, the direction of that network you can control. And for people who think that's not true, I would just point to this, you know, these sort of sanctioned transactions that you're seeing now in Ethereum that became the norm about a year ago now, probably. And no one's really said anything about it since. The Ethereum people would tell you that that's a sign that we overreacted. The Bitcoin people would tell you, though, that that's a sign that there hasn't been a problem yet, but there will be. And you know, there's not problems during good times, during times where government doesn't need to worry about declining currency value or losing the benefits of being, you know, part of the Cantillon class. But as those times deteriorate, yeah, those sanctioned transactions are going to be a pretty damning element of that network, that platform that Bitcoin's never going to have to worry about. We've done a good job remaining censorship free. you know, we have tools to be private. We have tools to use to do payments privately already with Lightning. Now you can talk to me about scaling or whatever on Lightning. Fine. That's maybe a different conversation. But the ethos on Bitcoin is clearly leaning in one direction while the Ethereum ethos is leaning in the opposite. And I know which one I would prefer if I have to choose between, you know, a money that's private, uncensorable, you know, cash-like in a lot of ways, or something else. I think Bitcoin is the clear winner there. And the only people who don't think that at this point, I think, are people who have bags of the other bullshit floating around, right? There's not too many people who are impartial observers who view Ethereum as the better money. It's not ultrasound anything, you know, remember that meme from a year ago? It's ridiculous. It's completely flopped.
Well, they've rolled back the blockchain after the DAO hack.
Can you guys stop trading now?
So to roll back the blockchain simply because of a hack. It was something that went against consensus of the network, like what happened when somebody long time ago inflated the amount of Bitcoin and created, I believe, billions and billions of Bitcoin that was created. That obviously was against the network and network rules, and they had to do something. This is simply a hack of a smart contract, and they rolled it back to make sure everybody was made whole. If they could do that, then they could do it again. That is not decentralized. You have a select few people that have the ability to have the power to do shit like this. I don't want to operate in that type of environment. I'm sure nobody here would like to. If you do, you're a fucking shit coiner, but that's the reality. They could fucking roll back that and make people whole again. And you know what? This shit don't happen in Bitcoin. The network just fucking runs. If something gets hacked in Bitcoin, fuck you. Learn how to fucking secure your shit better. They don't fucking roll things back just to make people whole.
No, I'm with you. I'm you know, happy to be in our camp. That's for sure. There's really no doubt, but you may know that we're preaching to the converted on this channel.
Let's move on and we'll talk about Gemini. I know we want to talk a little bit about Swan, but I think this is probably a better first topic to discuss because this may be coming to an exchange near you. Gemini, they've been making some waves this past week because they announced that their UK division, Gemini UK, will only allow for the transfer of Bitcoin to other registered trust VASPs. And this takes into effect November 17th. So it's going to be coming up in the next 4 days. And people may be questioning, what the heck is a trust VASP? Well, it's a virtual asset service provider. It's a fancy way of saying exchange. A regulated and approved exchange. Yes, it's all it is. It's a regulated and approved exchange. So this shit gets worse because also starting December 1st, Gemini may take action if Bitcoin is sent to a non-trust VASP. What action will they take? Well, they can restrict users and freeze their Bitcoin. Of course, this is not Bitcoin that you have access to on your own wallet. You control the keys. This is the shit that you have on their exchange. Now, after hearing this, and of all the exchanges that have been hacked and shut down and all that garbage, why people to this day still continue to use custodial exchanges, it's beyond me because these fucking suck. They're doing this shit. Why? Because they're saying it to ensure transparency of the transaction. You know, the last time I looked, Bitcoin is an open ledger and a public ledger. I don't know how much more transparent you could get than that. To me, that's the ultimate in transparency. And here is some dystopian level bullshit. They are now saying that they will be asking for your name. The beneficiaries are your funds. And in some cases, your address when depositing or withdrawing Bitcoin from Gemini to a wallet address. People, see what's happening here. This shit is going to come to an exchange near you. Learn how to use a non-custodial exchange. Learn KYC free Bitcoin. Learn how to self-custody your Bitcoin. If you fail to do this, it's going to happen very soon that you will need to learn this. It's better to learn it now than later on when you're under the gun. I have nothing else to say.
Yeah, it's it's better to know before you need to learn, right? That's the important information here. We talked about this a little while ago, Len, how there was a sort of a funny coincidence of events. A confluence of events happening at the same time a little while back. The ETF news really started to gain a lot of steam, around the time BlackRock filed, we started to see a push in the United States, among other places, away from what legislators are calling unhosted wallets, aka just not something on a VASP. And now you have this push to identify the quote unquote beneficiary of any crypto transaction that goes out from an exchange. And they want to flag, you know, transactions that leave exchanges and go to private wallets or go to non-regulated exchanges. Transparency is the word they use, but the word they mean is control. And there's really no doubt about this. Now, you know, I don't have anything personal against a company like ShakePay. They were sponsor of the show, and you know, I'm big fans of the guys over there. They're playing a different game because of the nature of what I think is a, and you know, it's going to eventually be an attempt to go public. And they're already doing some of this stuff. You know, if you ever go on ShakePay, if you're still shaking, for example, right? If you have the 1,000 sats a day shaking and you want to send out Bitcoin and the sum is more than 1,000 CAD, they ask you for name, you know, and some other information of the person you're sending it to. Is it a wallet you control? No. Okay, well, whose wallet is it? They want to know. The thing to keep in mind with all this stuff is it's not, you know, you're not being hypersensitive to think that at some point in the not too distant future, I would say medium term, maybe 2 years, maybe let's say, self-custody is going to be very difficult, if not outright illegal in most of the modern world. Why? Because it really makes tax receipts a difficult endeavor for a government if everyone is holding their own Bitcoin. That's really the story. The reason that the bank, you know, holds all your money and then also issues you the credit card and the bank card and all that, you know, it's convenient for you, of course, which is sort of the, you know, the poison pill. But on the other side, it's convenient for the tax man as well. This is the big thing. And, you know, a sovereign individual always on the desk. Okay. They talk about this a lot, that one of the first signs of an empire that is truly in decline and knows it is the sort of wacky things you start to see in order to ensure the tax receipts remain at some sustainable level to keep the government functioning. I don't know if we're quite there yet, but directionally, there's no doubt that this is the way we're going. And I think that this is not necessarily, you know, an indictment of the people in government, nor is it even really an indictment of the leaders of governments. It's sort of the natural next step for institutions like government that they don't know how to exist in a digital world. There's no way for them to exist in a world where there's not, you know, easily enforced taxation measures or easily controlled financial rails or censored transactions or, you know, the opportunity to behaviorally nudge somebody based on where they're spending their money or stop them from spending money a certain way, vis-a-vis the power you have over someone who controls the rails. When these things aren't available, the next step, you know, isn't familiar because it's never been tried. It's never been done. And so the next step logically looks weird to people who are paying attention. Now, there's a lot of people out there who don't have Bitcoin, don't care much about this, and are probably in the camp of, if you have nothing to hide, you shouldn't worry about how much prying is done into your private life. This is a dangerous way to live, of course, and it will become more dangerous with time. But there are a lot of people like this. And, you know, it's those people I'm really concerned about, Len, because by the time they realize, you know, forget self-custody, by the time they realize the money they're spending is being surveilled and used against them, you know, in so many different ways, explicitly, implicitly, and everything in between, the odds of them figuring out something like self-custody or Bitcoin is basically zero. And so I'm concerned about these people. I'm not overly concerned because I care about their well-being. I hope everyone figures this out soon. I'm actually concerned because they're going to outnumber us by, you know, factors of hundreds, right? And this is a problem, as we've talked about before, in a place that, you know, is democratic, even just in name only, in terms of the way that we govern. If a lot of people want one thing, you are subject to the rule of that mob, and that's going to make Bitcoin even more difficult. I think that's why you're starting to see jurisdictional arbitrage really take hold. You know, Jessica Hodler and Katie the Russian run that company. I want to get them on actually to the show, where they do passports, citizenship by investment. And I would be curious to hear from them about how their business is going compared to 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Because between COVID and now these sort of draconian laws about taxation and monitoring your financial, you know, sort of your financial well-being for the sake of collecting as much money from you as possible, I bet there's a lot of people looking at ways to get out of these shackles. And I wouldn't be surprised to hear that there's a lot of people coming to them and find out, how can I leave with as much of my wealth as possible and not have to worry about this kind of stuff somewhere else? It's going to become a real problem for people, and there's going to be solutions that present themselves as other countries realize they can be the arbitrage play that wealthy first world citizens are looking for.
And make sure whatever you do, you are adhering to the rules and regulations of your local jurisdiction. So don't skirt the tax man, don't you? Because you never know what will happen. You could get...
Don't sell, right? Don't sell and buy non-KYC. Like, it's not, these things are legal. It's not like we're breaking the law here telling you to do that.
No.
In fact, you know, some people argue that one of the reasons Bitcoin's been so successful is because there's just no clarity and breaks from the tax man when you sell. So people just don't sell. And, you know, like, this is, it's the nature of the game. It's not new, but it's something now that's, you know, more front and center maybe than it was a year and a half ago. I would say that much.
Yeah. Just simply buying and holding it. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. There's, you know, there's nothing to declare in terms of capital gains or capital loss. You're just simply buying a commodity. I think that's what they declare it, and holding on to it. So if you continually do that, that's fine. Now, it doesn't encourage the circular economy of Bitcoin, but I understand that there are hurdles that we're dealing with in terms of spending your Bitcoin that's preventing a lot of people from doing it. So I can understand that. So I just wanted to just throw it out there. There is a negative repercussion of doing what we're describing, and that's just not assisting the circular economy of Bitcoin. And we should try to encourage as much as possible. Again, you have to then claim whatever you spend your Bitcoin, how much you purchased it for and how much you sold it for. Note that and then claim that on your taxes. It could be a real headache, in my opinion. But let's move on. We'll talk about Swan, Joey, because Swan, they've been on fire for a period of time. Remember last year, I think it was? They could do no wrong, right? Like, it seems like everything that they touched was great. And now the perception seems to have changed, and people are starting to think that if they could do anything right these days. And Swan may be the first to have flinched with reference to the FinCEN proposal. And this is with respect to the mixing services proposal that was discussed not too long ago on our show. And they announced they no longer are going to service clients who directly interact with mixing services like Wasabi, Scammeri, or other services out there. And Swan says that their banks and qualified custodians that they deal with, they're giving them hard times for the accounts that deal with these mixing services. Okay. The question I have then is, how does the bank know? The banks they deal with, do they integrate, or how are they integrated with Swan? Because you got to think, the bank is simply just lending or taking or borrowing money to Swan. They don't know the ins and outs, the addresses, and everything that Swan is doing. So what sort of interaction do these banks have with Swan? I'd love to know the answer to that. And Swan goes on to say that they're not against mixing. They're not anti-mixing. And in fact, they have a very good write-up on their website, which promotes the usage of mixing services. So I am thinking of this. I read this and what they just done recently. Are their signals crossed? Because they're saying one thing, but proactively doing something else. And this recent move with respect to going against the people that are using mixing services, you pointed this out. They're prepping for the IPO. That's their thing. They're choosing, by doing this with the mixing services and shutting it out, they're choosing the path of least resistance. And this is going to appease regulators. It's going to appease politicians. It's going to appease banks and current and future partners they may have. But this move was a must, as they could not risk being shut out of the banking sector. I say this was a must, as if they want to continue down this path for the IPO. In terms of getting the word out there, Bitcoin, they've been jockeying themselves as a leader to help people onboard onto Bitcoin. Still, they're a custodial exchange. And I talked about, that's why I wanted to bring up that previous story with Gemini. Custodial exchanges, when you're dealing with them, there's an inherent risk.
Yeah.
With dealing with them. So Swan is a custodial exchange. When you buy from them, they hold on to it. Now they recommend you take it off, but initially it is on their platform. You have to you have to undergo the process to have your Bitcoin removed. So keep that in mind. Swan, they may be ushering people into Bitcoin, Still, they're custodial. I don't recommend custodial exchanges. Secondly, now they're going against these mixing services. At the present moment, there's nothing illegal. There's nothing wrong with using a mixing service, but they are not being proactive. So again, like you mentioned, they're simply doing this to make people happy so they could proceed with their IPO. This is fine. This is the choice that they have decided they want to follow. This is the path they want to follow, which is great. Bitcoiners, they could choose a different path. And if they want to, that is their choice.
I actually don't think it's fine. And I have a real problem with this because at the risk of getting myself in some trouble here, okay? You mentioned that everything they've touched turns to gold, you know, over the last year or 2 years. Corey, you know, did a world tour, including this show, by the way, when Terra Luna went under. You remember that. He came on and we talked about Terra Luna and we had that video of him or that clip of him trashing Pomp for the scams that he was promoting. The thing I would point to, and I said this to Wayfaring the other day and he disagreed, you know, maybe he's in the chat or he's listening. Why can't Swan seem to get the partners thing right? Right? The banks are, you know, functionally they are just your fiat on and off rails. Or at least that's what they should be. The custodians, I should say, should be the ones who are just securing the Bitcoin for you on your exchange when people are not taking it off. It seems to me that they've gotten both of these things wrong over the last 8 months, maybe something like that. You know, Fortress Trust, Kingdom Trust, whatever. And now this. And I know, and Dave Bradley's in the chat saying this too, that banks are going to be involved with chain analytics or whatever. But in terms of like proactivity, isn't the proactive thing to do to try and get a bank that will support you in the business you have? And, you know, especially in the States where there's so many little options that will help you, like as far as like banks, available banks, you couldn't find one that, you know, helped you with this. And the thing that bothers me the most, I think, Len, is that it's just a proposal still, this whole thing. It's not a law. It's not been debated in Senate or Congress. It's just a proposal. It's a FinCEN proposal. Again, whether these people should be regulating through this nature of you know, proposals like this is an entirely different discussion. Probably a lot of people would say no. I certainly would say no. I would guess you were the same way. Why not force them to put this into law before you start to play ball? If you're truly that big a player, right? Does the bank want to lose your business? Will another bank take you? Like all this stuff together just makes me think that, again, they're not focused on the right things. They're focused on the IPO. And you can be the judge. You know, is a company that's focused only on the IPO at the expense of their users a company that you want to do business with? Is that a Bitcoin company or is that a fiat company? I don't know. I mean, the IPO, someone's going to be lining their pockets there. I think it's probably going to be the Swan team, right? Guys like Brady, Corey, others. Is that a Bitcoin, you know, is that a Bitcoin ethos move by them? I don't think so. Now, I'll be the first to say that, you know, if somebody offered me a chance to, you know, get filthy fucking rich and feather my nest for generations to come on the back of an IPO, yeah, man, maybe my decision-making model would look a little different. But I also don't, I guess actually I do a little bit, but, you know, Corey has become this sort of face of Bitcoin Puritans over the last 6 months, 8 months. This doesn't look to me like it matches with that public-facing mantra, does it? It doesn't to you, I would guess. So what am I to make of this? If they're willing to do this for the mixing, you know, are they also going to say to people, well, as we just mentioned in the story that just passed, you know, as these other proposals come up about whether or not you can take money off of the regulated exchange network, are they going to be proactive with that too? Are they going to be proactive with self-custody? Are they going to be proactive with extra KYC? Are they going to be proactive with, you know, any number of regulatory crackdowns that are invasive to privacy and freedom of, you know, financial movement? I don't know. I would guess, yeah. I mean, why at this point would you guess no? Seems to me like they've made their choice here and they're going to try and appease the powers that be as early as possible, even if it's not necessary. So I would be aware. I'd be cautious to work with these guys. I think, you know, Strike, Cash App, whatever. I'm not sure what's going on at those places, but if it's not this or something like this, I mean, take your business elsewhere. Talk with your dollars, right? If you want to see the changes to these companies' platforms, then this is the way to do it. But yeah, not promising from Swan. And not a good look for Corey and the team either, honestly. I really, really think it's a mistake by them.
Now, with the IPO, Joey, say this happens. The IPO, it's successful, and you know, a few days after, even a few weeks or months after, what happens to the company? What's the focus of the company at that point?
Because I don't know.
At that point, it's going to be, now the focus is about making as much money as possible. Because as a shareholder, that's ultimately my goal. I want to increase the value of my investment. And how they do it, as long as it's done ethically, I'm fine.
Ethically, so, ethically to who, though?
Like, you're right. I mean, I would
know what I mean. Investor. Yeah, of course. But like, if you're gonna run a Bitcoin company, okay, then like,
I'm not talking about them ethically.
I know, and we're not arguing with each other. Like, we're saying the same thing. But I would just say that when you run a Bitcoin company, like, I don't want to compare it to CBP, but let's think about the people we've had reach out to us over the years, okay, running a Bitcoin show. And we turn down, I don't know, 99% of the people that come to us with sponsorship opportunities or paid interview opportunities. Why? Because we care about the mission. And we get on the show every week and we talk about how we care about the mission. And we talk about how this is the only thing that's important to us. And we talk about how, you know, we don't really use the TFSA anymore. Don't really use certain other vehicles. Don't really think about other things. Our time preferences change, all this stuff, right? Corey does the same thing. And if he's going to do that, then he has to make the decision that might be the difficult one when push comes to shove. But he never does. And so I'm not saying that he should or shouldn't, you know, do whatever this thing with the banks is. Fine, do it. But then stop fucking going on TV and telling everyone how much of a hardcore guy you are. Because you're not.
Well, he may still be. And I'm giving him a lot of credit here.
I don't know.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. And the reason being, hear me out. We got to separate him, the person that people can say about his background with EOS, I think that's the way you pronounce that shitcoin. Yeah. So there's a checkered past here, but in terms of this decision he as an individual make with the company, that's will be you got to separate the between the two.
Fine,
him,
you're
the
right.
Individual.
You're right.
So, yeah. But I'm not trying to say that he's a hardcore Bitcoiner. He's not a hardcore Bitcoiner. People are gonna have to make the decision or make that determination moving forward. However, I would say that Swan, I'm just trying to highlight the fact that their mission, what they're going to be trying to achieve after the IPO, it's going to change. We could look at Coinbase. Coinbase would probably be an example to look at. I mean, it's maybe not the perfect example, but it's the closest one we can use. And you can see how Coinbase has evolved since their IPO. And I would expect the same thing will happen to Swan. They're going to evolve as a business after the IPO. And in terms of the decisions moving forward, he's going to, like, whoever's going to be the CEO, they have to be dealing with the board. They have to be dealing with the shareholders. There's a whole bunch of people out there that they're going to have to appease. And they might have different ideas than does a Bitcoiner. So in terms of what's the direction of Swan after the IPO?
I mean, you know what it is. Yeah, this is what is the revenue model for, you know, like a company that IPOs and does only Bitcoin as an exchange. It's the scalp, right? It's the spread. They might have like some white glove or institutional level stuff, but everyone's got that now. Coinbase has it. ShakePay's got it. Swan's got it. Bull's got, like, everyone's got it. So that, like, you can't IPO on that. There's too much competition there, right? That's a race to zero in terms of ease of use, in terms of fees, all that stuff. So what's the competitive advantage? There isn't one, unless the competitive advantage is that all the other players, you know, don't bend the knee as quickly as you do. And like, I'm kind of speaking out of turn here, because obviously I'm not in venture capital or you know, I've never taken a company public or whatever. But just think about it from a rational perspective, your rational point of view. Where does the money come from for a company like Swan long term if you're if you go public and you just do Bitcoin only? Where's it coming from?
Good question. I don't know how they can maintain.
How many other companies have gone public as Bitcoin only?
Zero, to the best of my knowledge.
Unless how many companies are?
That's to the best of my knowledge. I could be wrong though.
Well, fuck. As far as I know, too. You know, how many companies are these sort of like, you know, still private that everyone is dying to see go public because they're just such great business models that are Bitcoin only? Fucking zero, none. So you know, at some point, you know, if it quacks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, it's a duck. And I'm looking at this, and honestly, I would probably even push ShakePay into this category too. They're trying to become financial services providers, and financial services providers, they play in the same arena as all the things you are trying to get away from as a Bitcoiner: the surveillance, the control, the custody issues, the counterparty risk. That's not a Bitcoin company anymore at that point. And so what are these companies if they're not Bitcoin companies? They're just fucking banks with better phone apps. That's all. You can't be involved with these kind of companies, I don't think. And I don't think that's a stretch, honestly.
I agree 100%. And that's why I led off with that Gemini stuff to start off with. This is what happens when you deal with custodial exchanges. Now we're dealing with a custodial exchange that is going to have an IPO. So that's another X, we got to say, that's going to be associated with it.
Yeah.
Just be careful. If you're going to continually use Swan moving forward, you know,
do so. Your own
I'm not going to lose any sleep.
Your own risk. Yeah.
Right. Like, I'll be honest, I'm going to sleep just as well at night if you get rugged and if you don't get rugged, because I said my piece. It's true, Joey. I can only lead the horse to water. If they want to drink, it's up to them. But let's be honest, I can't force them to drink. I can show them the way, what is the best way to hold on to your Bitcoin, to buy Bitcoin and go from there. But if you don't fucking do it, who cares? I don't give a shit. I would like you to do it, but if you're not going to do it, fuck you. You got to live with your decisions. And once you get rugged, like that guy that lost 25 Bitcoin this past week.
I feel terrible for that guy.
I feel bad for him. God. But again, if he's putting this in, if he's putting the keys in such a way that he could access it through his phone and it's 30 bits of entropy, you're fucking like, asking
it
me.
Like, it was like LastPass again, wasn't it? You're talking about this guy who made the phone video and it's like him and his dad maybe was like responsible for the...
There's so much.
I mean, it's bad. It's bad anyways, but like, yeah, I'm with you. I know.
Somebody put out there, how does this guy, and there's something here, I don't know exactly what's going on, accumulate 25 Bitcoin in 2012, 2013, whatever it was. The price of Bitcoin, the high at that time when he bought it was around 300, sorry, would have been $325 for the whole 25 Bitcoin.
Right.
So which was, you know, you bought that, you've held it, you spent $325 10 years ago to get 25 Bitcoin. You didn't buy any more between now and then. You didn't learn about self-custody, proper self-custody. Like, there's something here that seems fishy.
Tell me more. Keep going.
You see what I mean? Like, I don't know. But as for fishiness, let's talk about Poloniex.
Sure.
The exchange, this is a centralized exchange, was hacked. This is the theme of the day, people, centralized exchanges. And they were victim of a hack, and users' funds were drained from accounts. Again, why people are still using custodial exchanges, I do not know. Anyways, Poloniex is the exchange that is best associated with one Justin Sun. That's the guy from Tron. So some $114 million is estimated to have been lost from this last hack. And Poloniex says that the exchange will reimburse the affected users. How the fuck do you have $114 million just sitting ready just to reimburse people? This shit is going to be paid for, mark my words, out of other people's accounts. As a way to entice the hackers to come forth, they're offering what they call a 5% white hat bounty. I have no idea what the fuck a 5% white hat bounty is, but good luck getting this fucking money back.
It means if they get the money back and the guy shares the exploit in an ethical way, he'll get 5% of the outstanding funds, I would guess, something like that. Probably not a bad haul if you got the skills to do it.
Yeah, so let's,
as long as you don't mind being paid in, as long as you don't mind being paid in Tron. You know,
what's the options? You're gonna get 114 million versus what, 6 million? That's
It's not bad.
I think 114 million. I'll fucking take that and run versus the shitcoin Tron. So they don't explain what's happened, but the trust in these custodial exchanges
has to be now at an all-time low. Again, this is for people out there. This is another example why you don't buy and leave your shit on there. Because if you do, you potentially will get rugged. And how they're going to reimburse you? Well, they're going to reimburse you from somebody else's account. This is fucking central bank level bullshit. And Poloniex, fuck them. They could go belly tits up for all I give a shit.
I don't even have anything to add to this. I think it's stupid. I can't believe people are still using these exchanges that are like run by people who are clearly scammers. But didn't Justin Sun, didn't he get like drunk or something at some party and basically say to McCormick on camera that Tron is a shitcoin? I'm pretty sure he did like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Like anyone who's still buying this stuff, I can't help you, man. This reminds me when we went on the Danters show back in the day and they had that guy on there. I can't remember what he was doing. He's like a football coach or something. Nice guy. Don't get me wrong. But like the conviction that he spoke about like XRP with and other people have spoken about Tron and other people still are talking about, you know, whatever, AVAX, Polkadot. Like I'm trying to think of other old cycle coins that I can't think of any other
file
ones.
Filecoin.
Right, Link, Filecoin, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Remember Ontology coin or whatever? Like these were like
DentaCoin.
Throwbacks, man. You know, the decentralized dentistry on the blockchain. Amazing. If you're still fucking around on exchanges that support this stuff, okay, I don't know what to tell you. I got a bridge to sell you, I guess, at this point. Sell you. I'll go to the beach and sell you some sand. It's just like, man, if you don't have this figured out yet, I don't know what's going to do it for you. How many other rugs you need to see get pulled from people around you before you realize that maybe the rug under your feet is not as secure as you think?
People got experience the pain themselves, which is too bad because this is a great opportunity to learn from somebody else's pain and go from there. And if people don't want to learn from that and do they want to experience them themselves, all the more power to you. And, you know, if you get hacked or if you lose your keys or whatever, like, it's better for everybody when you lose your keys. Remember, because that's a donation to the network.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. And so a couple more stories. We'll see what we could get in for before the hour's up. So there's a alleged scam Ledger Live app.
I love
that. Is available on the Microsoft App Store. And this fake app is presumably it's stealing your information and your Bitcoin, of course. There's reports out there that this fake app has already caused people to lose a combined 17 Bitcoin, which is not a lot, but still, I would hate to lose even one sat. And since we're on the topic of getting these users rug pulled, LastPass users were also on the receiving end of learning of a valuable lesson. LastPass suffered a hack just a little while ago, and hackers were able to run away with a total of 4.4 million worth of Bitcoin and shitcoins from at least 25 LastPass users. So people are still using LastPass as a way to store their keys. People, there are better ways to do this. Do not expose it to the internet. If you do that, you're just asking for problems. And we're also getting word there is a fraudulent Electrum app that is being distributed on Apple. Electrum doesn't publish on the App Store. No. So this is a fake app that when you did a search on Electrum, because Electrum doesn't publish it, the fake app then appeared at the very top of the list when you search for Electrum Wallet. It's unknown at this time how much or if any funds were stolen from users. But remember, people, there's ways you could practice good privacy hygiene. Don't fucking simply download shit. When you download it, you can verify this.
Wait a minute. Which show is this? Is this Access of Easy or CBP? It feels this like is, wait, which show is this? You're just rehashing what you said on Thursday last week.
It is, but let's fucking have people start learning how to do verification of signatures of software. This is really the only way you can guarantee the software you've downloaded is the real McCoy and you're not going to get fucking rug pulled. So there are ways. It may seem a little, you have to learn the process, and it may be something that may be a steep hill to climb. It's not. You could learn it. Instructions are easily available, readily available. You look through it, you follow it, and you do it. Verification of signatures is fucking key for your privacy. Don't just simply download and plug in your fucking keys online. You're going to be asking for problems by doing that. Learn how to do verification of software. That's all I got to say.
Isn't the two big lessons from this for me are, number one, there's just no reason to connect your hardware wallet to your phone ever, no matter what. You don't need the app. You don't need to look at your funds on your phone. You don't need to let people know you have Bitcoin when you're out and about by having an app on your phone. There's just no benefit to that. That's number one. Number two, especially in the case of the Ledger app, if you have a Ledger product and you have Bitcoin on there, presumably you've had the product for some period of time. You know, you've downloaded the app on the computer. You've downloaded the app on your phone already. Why, like, what has to come over you to get a second Ledger app on your phone when you already have one, or there's an official one that you could just like look to vis-a-vis your desktop app or whatever, right? Like, it, that's the one that I really don't get. This tells me that, you know, this got to be some bell curve meme here opportunity somewhere, but like, I just can't believe how stupid these people are, right? What else can you say about this? That the Ledger thing is like, it's unforgivable. Okay. To quote a great set of videos from about 15 years ago, if you know, you know. Okay. It's unforgivable. And I don't have any sympathy for these people at all. The Electrum people, maybe, I don't know. There's no Electrum app. Maybe you see it on the App Store one day and you're like, oh, cool. I know Electrum. I'll try it. But even that, like, that's still pretty dumb, but it's not as dumb as the Ledger people. The Ledger people are like a special kind of stupid in this case.
I have nothing else to say about that.
Well, I don't know what else can you say. Like, I'm not, you know, let's not sugarcoat it. It's pretty stupid stuff here. I don't know. I just, whatever. Don't download shit on your phone. It's stupid. Just,
I agree. And if anybody has questions about, like, I'll be happy to spend some time to show you how to verify signatures, to show you that whatever you're downloading is indeed the correct stuff. It's not that fucking hard. And don't expose your keys to anything online. Not your phone, not to a connected computer, none of that shit.
Yep.
Do it everything offline and air gap your shit. That's another, I'm going to give Cold Card a plug here. Learn how to use that thing in a totally air gapped environment. Never is that going to be plugged into your computer.
The other thing too, Len, like, air gapping is one thing, but you talk all the time about, like, you know, if you don't want to air gap or you can't, like, that Tails software, right? Like, there's so many different ways that are safer than just fucking sticking your USB stick unprotected, you know, raw dogging, whatever hardware, wallet, app, computer. It's just, there's so many opportunities to make this easier for yourself. And no one takes them. No one takes your advice, Len. What are you going to do?
Hopefully they learn. And you're living very dangerously if you do something like just download something and hope it's not been compromised. Plugging in your information, because if it is compromised and you gave your information, well, there goes your access to your sats, and it's probably going to be drained, sent to a CoinJoin or something like that, and you'll never see it again.
Yep.
And that's just the reality of it. Joey, that's it for Bitcoin-related news, because we could go to Clown World. But before we do that, let's sign off the audio side of things.
God bless you. Thanks for coming. If you're on video, stay tuned for the rest. If you're on audio, well, then you get to tune into the rest tomorrow. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, take care. And PV, don't be a cuck.